My guest today is Nigel Burgoyne, who for 20 years was running the Ballet Theater of Toledo, but since that time he's done a lot of stuff, and we're here to tell you all about it. Now, I'm looking at this flyer. First of all, welcome to you, Nigel.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And secondly, let's look at this brochure that you sent me with a very alliterative title, Tutus, Touring, and Other Terrors. I wonder if you can tell us about that.
Certainly. After going out to dinner many times with friends, and they would say, oh, what happened here and what happened there? And I would relate stories as we travelled around the world, because I joined the London Festival when I was 17. I was the youngest member of the company, and I was fresh out of the Royal Ballet School. And everything was a wonderful new adventure, and I had trained, basically from the age of 4, to be a classical ballet dancer. And I'd worked and worked. I left home when I was 11, went to the Royal Ballet School of Royal Hunting Lodge in Richmond Park, and then went to the upper school. And at 17, I was given my first job by Dame Beryl Gray, and I joined the company. Well, you train and train in classical ballet. You have to listen so much to the music. Really, one of our most important parts of training is knowing the music and respecting the music. And also your technique. You have to have a fabulous technique to become a professional dancer. It really is one of the toughest things. And this you go through, then you go through learning choreography, then you go through pas de deux, you've got to lift the girls and all the rest of it. Nobody ever says, and if the scenery falls down, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
So with these stories that I've got from all over the world as we travelled, because the London Festival Ballet, we were a gypsy company. It was actually started by Anton Dolin, Sir Anton Dolin, and Dame Alicia Markova, and the company was started as sort of a group to work with them. And it got its name as London Festival Ballet because we travelled to all of the festivals throughout Europe. And we would do an English season, a London season of Nutcracker, and then in the summer we would take off and travel all around Europe. For example, my first tour was 2 days in Wetzlar, Germany, and then 10 days in Israel, from Caesarea through to Kiryat Biliak. And then after Israel, we went on to what was then Yugoslavia, and we toured up and down there for 10 days. And then from there, we went to Italy, and we did all the festivals in Italy, and then we finished off in the south of France, in Nice.
Wow.
And that was it. You basically did a show, you took off your makeup, you had something to eat, you went to the hotel, and you got up next morning and got on the plane.
Yeah, I did the same thing once for a touring production of Carmen, but it was in a bus, not a plane.
You were right. Yes. Well, we traveled in buses up and down, the different countries, yeah, and things like that. And one time you would walk into a beautiful state opera house, the next time you would be in Roman ruins,
yeah,
and things like that. So everybody had to work very hard and deal with these things that went wrong on stage and backstage during productions.
Yeah. Now, if people want to contact you and hear your stories, or you want to do something like that, what email should they?
The best one is my working email, which is Nigel Burgoyne, NigelBurgoyne, at gmail.com.
That's great. You're also the author of a book.
My second book, yes.
Yes. Tell us about that.
Well, this was quite a surprise. I'd wanted to take my wife to Hawaii. So it was Robert Shields, actually, from WTOL, Channel 11, went there and he found this lovely apartment. And he put us in touch with the owner, and Amory and I went there for our 15-year wedding anniversary. And one day she was sitting on the beach. I got a lovely picture of her sitting on a rock on the beach. And I just thought, what if a mermaid and a unicorn appeared behind her? It was my mind.
Who would have that thought?
I know, exactly, exactly. And it went through my mind. And here was the funniest thing. I said, I've got to write this down. And I went over to the dollar store and got a book for a dollar.
Yeah.
And I got a pen that we'd borrowed from a hotel when we were traveling. And I sat down and I started to write The Ballerina, The Mermaid and The Unicorn.
Wow. So what's the story?
The story is about, completely made up by myself, it's about a young ballerina whose parents have gone missing over the jungle in Peru, and they were in a light aircraft and she thought they were gone.
Yeah.
And she went on vacation to her auntie's house, which was by the sea, and she was walking along the beach and she finds a large shell, like an oyster shell, with some writing on it. And she goes to pick up the shell, and as she opens it, there's two large pearls inside. Mm-hmm. And the water knocks it out of her hand, and the next thing, she is swimming in the sea with a mermaid and a unicorn. And they take her off to a magical island, and they tell her why they've taken her to this island, and it's to see, they think that they know her parents are still alive in the jungle in Peru, and they need her to go with them to find and make sure this is her parents, and then they'll rescue them.
Was it easy for you to come up with a story, or?
Oh my God, I could not. You know, when I was at school, I was dreadful because I was a dancer. I couldn't stop moving in the classroom. And we were in a royal hunting lodge in London, and I'd look out the window and I'd see the deer, and my mind would be gone. You know, and people would say, "Write an essay." I'd be lucky if I get three lines.
Yeah.
This just kept coming out and out and out and out, and I was writing. And Anne-Marie saw me sitting on the balcony, and she was like, "Wow, I've never seen you write so much." I know. I said, "I know, I've never felt that." And that went on from there to do 9 more books after that.
Wow. So the book that we're talking about is The Ballerina, The Mermaid, and The Unicorn, by my guest today, Nigel Burgoyne. And you want to talk about your collaboration with Wendy Smith?
Yes, Wendy Parkett Smith. Wendy always, she taught for us at Ballet Theatre of Toledo. And then when we did a production, she would do a little mini poster that she drew herself. Wonderful doodles and things like that. Now, when you look at the cover of this book and when you look inside at her fabulous illustrations, she does the one thing that should be done and should be insisted on in all ballet books. She gives ballerinas beautiful feet. Mm. And she had beautiful feet herself, so she knew what they should look like. So many times there's pictures of a dancer jumping in the air and the foot is facing the wrong way or it's turned in. And what people don't realize is dancers, like myself, train from the age of 4 to have beautiful feet and worked and beautiful lines on the end of their legs, which is what classical ballet is all about.
Yeah. And we don't think of the things that you think of.
Not at all.
Right. If somebody wants to get the book, where do they find it?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon.
All right.
Just contact Amazon and it'll be there. And you just call it. You know, lots of my friends have ordered them already, and they're there. What I wanted to do with this book is I'd love parents and grandparents to read it to their children.
Yeah.
Nobody ever read a book to me when I was a child.
Mm.
And we had the most wonderful teacher in our primary school. Basically, in the village I lived in Wavendon, we had a hut, and that was our classroom. The other kids, the older and the younger ones, all were in the schoolroom, which was made out of bricks, but ours was a wooden hut. And we had the most wonderful teacher called Mrs. Neal. And she would get an Enid Blyton book and she would start reading it. And we would get Friday afternoon one chapter. And she would read this chapter, and at the end of it, she'd close the book. And we were all, what's going to happen next? And she said, well, if you behave yourselves.
Right.
So we were at her mercy.
So. All right. Well, my guest is Nigel Burgoyne, who has a big ballet footprint, in, not just in our area, but also across the pond, as it were.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for coming on FM 91. Now, is there anything else that you want to say? You've got the microphone.
Right. I'm open to anybody that wants me to come and talk to a group. That's absolutely fine. And what has been wonderful, Donna Bogan from Hartman and Bogan has given extra sponsorship. Mm. And I'm working, she's given it to the Arts Commission of Greater Toledo. So if anybody would like me to come and talk, but their finances and budgets are limited, they can apply to the Arts Commission and I will come and give the talk.
That's so great.
It'll be done there.
Yeah. And your contact information again is Nigel Burgoyne, Burgoyne, @gmail.com. You can find a lot of information about Nigel just by Googling his name. So,
yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you so much.